Thought leader and influencer. This is Luba Mayekiso and the Africa Report.
Time is 8:46, about to go 8:47. Luba Mayekiso, good morning and welcome back. All the best for 2020 to you and your family.
Thank you very much, Howard, and to you too and the listeners. Cape Town is hot at the moment, yeah.
Cape Town is what? I didn't hear that.
Very hot. We've been sitting in the above 35 for a couple of days.
Wow. Well, when we were there, certainly they didn't show off any of these temperatures. We were actually freezing. I think it was whilst you were in the Eastern Cape. Cape Town really had a very, very cool weather. But we didn't complain. It was absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Did you have a good break?
It was a very good break. It was different. I decided to go and sit in the old Transkei, the Wild Coast. So I think it was quite refreshing to be somewhere without DSTV, no TV whatsoever, no Wi-Fi. Wow. I brought my router, then I learned it doesn't work in that part of the country. So I'd have to drive about, 10 minutes to get good data and park on a hill and bring my laptop and connect for 5 minutes and then drive back home. Wow. So, quite liberating.
Yeah, it must be. Quite difficult. Look, I think I would last 12, 13 minutes. But I think it is probably a very healthy thing. All right, not so healthy is Eskom. We've been trying to follow the story. A chairman appointed, he didn't know about it. He heard it from his daughter in London. Eskom also saying that there will be dire consequences if they don't get the increases that they are demanding. We've had terrible amount of load shedding at that. It's become almost a headline every day. No load shedding. The assumption being that there is load shedding. What's your take on the whole situation?
As an aside, though, before we begin, I was amused to see that you guys get 4 hours load shedding per time. We get two. So we might be hit twice in one day, but it's in batches of two. So it might be midnight to 2 o'clock in the morning. Then they come back in the day for another 2 hours. But you guys get clapped with 4 hours right up front.
In fact, another observation to make, Lubez, and I noticed it when I was in Cape Town, is that you can actually set your watch by load shedding times in Cape Town. And I found that so comforting, as annoying as it is. I woke up one morning, it was like 2 minutes to 6 o'clock, and I knew there was load shedding at six. I wanted to make a quick cup of coffee, dash down the passage, put on the coffee machine, and managed to, because I knew I had 2 minutes. In Joburg, 6 o'clock is really quite figurative. It can be anything. And same as when it comes back. So I think it does work very, very well the way it is structured there in Cape Town with the 2 hours and perhaps another 2 hours, because then you can also get the other 2 hours at a time that's a little bit more convenient.
Absolutely. But to come back to your question, can I answer you differently and say I'm perplexed about this because I've really tried to figure out what's going on at Eskom. And here's a scenario. Imagine, Howard, we were getting our electricity from some space age technology, a billion light years away, which was using fancy AI technology. And we were saying it's not performing the way it should. We're not quite sure why. We need these engineers and these programmers to try and figure out. That I can understand, where we're dealing with something so high tech that we can't understand, that is, light years ahead of what we used to. But in Eskom, we're dealing with an entity that was built decades ago that's essentially using coal power stations and a little bit of hydro, and we've got one nuclear in Cape Town. Now, everything we've been told about Eskom has been the same narrative. The president has got up, and I listened to his last address about it. And let's be brutally honest. We can talk about state capture. Yes, billions disappeared in state capture. Whether we're looking at Deloitte, McKinsey, we're looking at the Gupta brothers, wherever we place the blame, a sizable chunk went towards unexplained consulting fees and went into prepayments and all of those issues. But that's not going to change the problem that we have. So we've got state capture. We've got a bloated procurement process that's cost us an additional $33 billion. We've got aging infrastructure. That we've been told the whole time. We've got maintenance issues on this infrastructure that we know. We get rain occasionally. What troubles me, Howard, is that there's nothing new that we're getting told, and everything that we're getting told is something that somebody can fix. So, yes, we've got a new board, and it's almost, the new board is almost like saying, we've got a new president in the country, a new ANC president, because the prof, when I do my research, has been around since 2018. So you're not bringing in somebody from outside. He was on the board. So you're not bringing in somebody who's an engineer or an energy expert who's bringing a fresh set of eyes. You're bringing somebody who's been in the organization that's failing and has been part of that board. So that's my first problem. How he got to know is even more of a mystery. But my real issue is, we always get told that the infrastructure is aging. Yes, we know that. It's 35 years old, and some of it is over 50 years old, and it shouldn't go over 30. We understand that. That is why we're building Medupi and Kusile, which are way behind schedule. We have a procurement process for renewables. Everything is in place to be able to address the issue, but it's not being addressed. Now, what I can't answer for you is somebody deliberately saying we're not going to fix the problem? Because it can't be that nobody knows how to fix it, because they're articulating the problems. And it's the same problems. And it was the same problems last year when I was involved in energy here in Cape Town in the early 2002s, 2003s. Our complaint was aging infrastructure, tariff increase, new infrastructure that we need. Nothing has changed. So in literally 10, 15 years, we've been singing the same story under load shedding. Now, the question then I suppose we should be asking is, so why isn't it being fixed? From a cabinet level, from an ESCOM level, what really is the real issue? And that's what I can't answer, because you're able to identify the issues. Hence, I was using the crazy analogy of some space rocket out in Mars, where we're saying we have no idea what we're dealing with, something completely new. ESCOM is not something new. It's something that we know, we understand. It's been able to operate. Yes, there may be a higher demand on ESCOM. But all of that, there's contingency plans, there's risk management. ESCOM will have a board, a risk management committee. People know that it will rain. And when it rains, you must have, ways to deal with that.
What perplexes me, I have to say, is that there hasn't been more pressure on government until now. And even now, it's kind of, well, yes, we should have, and we need independent producers, suppliers. But how on earth have we allowed a situation now for 12 years? This started in 2008. Well, it obviously started before that, but we became aware of it as a public in 2008. In 12 years, we haven't forced government to allow independent producers. How is that even possible? What kind of idiots are we?
You see, Howard, but remember, it's two issues, and I think we focus on the wrong places, because right now, most of us are focusing on state capture, are focusing on why we've got these cost overruns in Medupi and Kusile.
I'm just talking about pure business. If you have one person that you're reliant on as a business, and they are not doing their job, then we have to find an alternative. But we haven't been allowed to. So now we need to pressurize government to say, sorry?
There are alternatives, Howard, but they need regulation. So, for instance, if you want to go and build, let's say, a solar park with solar panels somewhere in the middle of the Karoo, you can go and build that, but you can't connect to Eskom's grid. So for you to be able to supply a small town or an Eskom consumer, you need some kind of agreement with Eskom, because your unit sitting out in the middle of nowhere has to connect to the grid. So Eskom owns generation, the power stations, and transmission. So essentially, whoever produces power independently has to be able to tap into the Eskom infrastructure. Now, for many years, the bottleneck was there was no clarity as to how much Eskom would pay you and what that agreement looked like. For many years, Eskom dragged its heels around getting that done. So right now, for instance, I mean, people are pointing fingers at Minister Gwede Mantashe and I saying, you've got agreements that have been signed to procure energy from alternative producers, but none of them have been implemented. And there's almost a reluctance on his part to go that route. And people are thinking that maybe he's got a union background. And if you do go aggressively the renewable route, it's going to impact coal, you know, coal mines, coal production and all of those, and lay off people. So you almost get the sense that somebody somewhere is doing their own arithmetic and doing some juggling and not really willing to embrace the alternative energy. Do you remember, Howard, that even before you get to solar and wind, you know, there's always been the issue of municipal waste that we could have burnt and made electricity. Mm. So the options that we have are endless, but all of them hinge on Eskom agreeing. So unless, I mean, at the moment you've got mining houses trying to produce their own and they are being precluded. So unless you're sitting off grid somewhere as a mine where you can use methane or you can use solar and provide your own plant, where you don't need Eskom's infrastructure. So it comes back to the monopoly that you can produce energy, but you need Eskom's transmission system to get it to a municipality or a town. And there lies the problem.
And it's just an incredible thing because this is the one supplier of any service that, that begs their customers not to use them, but then still won't allow anybody else to get involved and fill the gap.
I understand, but the question then is, at government level, you know, where is the bottleneck? Because when you listen to the president, he's not convincing. You know, he speaks on this issue and you can hear that he doesn't have the facts. Besides the story where...
And he's been made an idiot of time and time again.
Okay, Howard, let's take a step back. I think, yes, he is being made an idiot of, but if I were to appoint you the president and I said to you, Howard, you're the president of the country, would you be satisfied with the answers that you were getting from your minister, from your executives, from Eskom? I don't think so.
No.
And this is the question I keep asking myself is, why somewhere along the line somebody needs to say, no, we can't tell the president this. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This is nonsense. Mm-hmm. And for him to go publicly and keep repeating the same story is embarrassing.
This is embarrassing.
And he should be able to say, guys, no, I will not accept any more explanations about aging infrastructure, about these issues, because he's repeating the same story like a stack record, like you're saying.
And he's not looking good.
He's not looking good. And that's why I'm saying it's not a Herculean issue. It's a problem that can be solved. It almost seems like there's no willpower to solve Eskom. Then the question is, but then why? You know, is somebody really just trying to ruin and sabotage the country? I don't understand. Because is there a financial gain? I can understand saying that if you keep coal contracts in place and you've got transport agreements for coal, then it's in your best interest. But right now, it's not working out for anybody.
Right, and in 12 years, that could have been dealt with. That's what I keep looking at and saying, you know, we've had the time. That said, when we drove as part of our holiday, we drove from Cape Town to Plettenberg Bay, and we definitely passed some wind farms en route, and that was incredible to see.
The Eastern Cape has got a lot of them. So if you, for instance, are in near East London towards Old Transkei, you'll see wind farms towards just before Port Elizabeth and outside PE. So there's quite a lot along the coast, those wind farms that have been generated.
Are those Eskom?
No, those are private sector. That it's not Eskom.
Right.
Remember Eskom, the only one, Eskom does not really want to look at the alternative route because it's not in their business plan. Eskom for years, going back to 2002, has been comfortable.
I mean, I hate to state the obvious, but their business plan might need a little bit of revision.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
Eskom is comfortable with the current production method, which is coal.
Right.
Primarily.
Right. Very, very strange how little progress has been made. Lubomaki, so we do have to leave it there. It is 9 o'clock. Unfortunately, we can chat for hours on this and all our other subjects that we always want to talk about. But we do need to go to news headlines and then say goodbye.